Comes the pressure. Roethlisberger just lofts it to the end zone, and it's caught by Juju Smith-Schuster. Jones steps up, launches downfield, and Slayton caught. Touchdown, Giants. And the New York Giants cash in the first deep strike of the season. Pressure. Roethlisberger escapes, and he'll take off. Big Ben rumbling and sliding for a first down. Roethlisberger looks right. Slant. Knocked down. Still fighting for the end zone is Washington. He's in. The Steelers take the lead. Roethlisberger on third and four. Fires to the end zone. It's caught for a touchdown by Smith-Schuster. And a big night for Juju. This is fun. This is what he had in mind.
My, how things change, Bob. That was the last time the Steelers played the Giants. The date was September 14th, 2020. We were young and foolish then. Joe Judge was the Giants coach. And the roster, the Steelers roster. I mean, look at their main offensive weapons. Benny Snell football, who had a great game. James Conner, Chase Claypool, Jalen Samuels, Juju, Wrong Way Johnson, James Washington, Eric Ebron, and Vance McDonald. They don't call it a not-for-long league for nothing. It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable how short a lifespan some of these guys have.
But guess who quarterbacked the Giants that night?
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones went 26 of 41 for 279, two touchdowns, two picks, three sacks, and he ran around a little bit. They got some of the same guys. Defensively, the Steelers have, you know, a handful of guys, if that many. Do they even have, yeah, they have Cam, TJ, and Minka. Other than that, it was Mike Hilton, Vince Williams, Terrell Edmonds, Devin Bush, Joe Hayden, Bud Dupree. Wow. So I was thinking about that this morning, Bob, as well as thinking about you and how excited I was to see you. And I know you were thinking the same.
I was thinking about your golf game, how close you came to shooting a sub-40 front nine.
I know.
One shot,
which was a chunked approach on number nine that I'll now live with for the rest of my life. But I feel good today. I feel happy. You look happy. City Limits never looks unhappy. How are you today, sir?
I'm great, Joe. Bob, you missed an incredible day of Joe singing for the masses yesterday at PetFest.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
You would have been great there, Bob. We needed you there. I took the mic and sang some Malzy Christmas carols.
Did you take your shirt off?
Thought about it, but no.
He did that before, you know.
Did a little stand-up comedy routine there that I think people enjoyed coming over the loudspeakers. My favorite joke, of course, is I gave a speech in a cornfield last night. Bob asked me how it went.
How did your speech in the cornfield go?
Good. They were all ears.
I like that kind of corny stuff.
Yeah,
I do.
So do I. Corny. See, there you go. Limits, did you like that one? I thought it brought the house down.
I did, yes. It brings the children of the corn to life.
It really does.
You either get a laughter reaction to that or one of those, oh. You
know, I got
it's
nothing,
like nothing
Bob.
In between.
Yeah. You got a lot of...
People hated me, and for good reason. You also might remember that night, Saquon Barkley had 15 carries for how many yards? Six.
I was going to say 14.
6 yards. So the Steelers shut him down. But the other reason I'm thinking about that, the Giants, how quickly things changed in the NFL, and wondering if this is the Steelers' best team since then. I think, again, tonight, there's an opportunity here to announce yourself in such a way that, listen, we're a good team. Because good teams go out and smash a team like the Giants tonight at home on a Monday night. They smash them. Good teams win
good teams, but
by big margins.
The NFL is not littered with a bunch of great teams right now. And what happens is you see as many close games, one possession games, as you did yesterday every week.
Can the Steelers announce themselves as such? Do you think this is their best team since then? That was a pretty good football team, Bob. I think we've gone overboard the other way in looking back on 2020. In the end, it was, what did they get to, 11-0? I think that was built on whatever the phrase is, smoke and mirrors, string and
And I think people saw that it was going to fall apart a little bit. Never to the point where they would lose five in a row and then in the playoff game get blown out the way they did.
But having said that, there was a reason. You don't just get to 11-0 by blind luck either. The Bud Dupree injury hammered them. He was borderline great at that point in his career before that injury. And that's a good defense that I just read to you. Cameron Hayward, T.J. Watt, Mike Hilton, Bince, Stephon Tuitt, Hayden, Aloalo, good Bud Dupree, Steven Nelson, Minka. That's a good defense.
And much younger than they are right now, the ones who remain.
Right.
So they were.
And Ben got off to a great start that year. For like 8 or 9 games, he was great, including that night. 21 of 32, 229, 3 TDs, no picks. I dare say there hasn't been, and this is just a random game, I don't think anybody since he left has had a game as good as that, including Russell Wilson last week. That's an unbelievable game right there.
It really is. And if you're asking me the question, is this their best team since then? The answer is yes. But how good can they be? The answer to me is still up in the air.
And tonight will be another show,
right? Because I want to see more from Russell Wilson, a quarterback.
Yeah.
And if he could recapture any of what he had in his Seattle days, which, you know, a few years ago. Now, we're getting up there in age, but I think that's going to be a big step for them to take. And it starts tonight with this game on primetime. But, again, look back to last year, Joe. They had a primetime game, I think it was Thursday, though, against New England. Bailey Zappe came in and took advantage of them in that game, and everybody thought that was a gimme game.
I am so glad you mentioned that as well, Bob, because I have to believe that this team is better than last year's team. But last year's team was looking pretty good at that point, if you recall, because they had fired Matt Canada. They came out and beat the Bengals in Cincy. Not a great Bengals team at that point. Pickett had one of the best games of his career, 278 yards passing. You're 7-4. You're rejuvenated in a lot of ways, and you have Arizona and New England next on the schedule. But to your point, A, it's the NFL. B, those Steelers were unmasked in those games as being a very average football team, right?
Right. But I think the quarterback play had something to do with that. So we'll see what happens here tonight and with this Russell Wilson-led team, what they're able to do, especially against a team that cannot stop the run like the Giants' defense. And the way Najee Harris has been running, I would imagine that's one of those bets you want to make over under on his yards. But, you know, again, it's the NFL. And yesterday, if you look at it, I counted 11 games that were down to one possession.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
That's a lot of one possession games at the very end.
And it was also defense, though. It was quarterback. It was a lot of things. I mean, the Bailey Zappe Patriots came in here and put 303 yards up. And he and 21 first half points. It was one of the most embarrassing first halves in the Mike Tomlin era to have Bailey Zappe come in and have a team put 21 on you in the first half. So are these guys way better? See, I think tonight is a testing ground for is this a really good team? Because you come out tonight and you dominate and you show that. Or maybe you struggle a lot, still win the game, but you sort of show that, we're sort of with everybody else here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Well, or you lose, and then you start to worry, are they going to become unmasked like the 2020 team and like last year's team? That's why this game holds a lot of interest for me. I think it can tell a lot.
I totally agree. And I think it's helpful for them that it's on a night game in Monday, you know, where they've had a very strong record, and it also precedes a bye week. And then I think you're really going to get, you want a statement? The next three games after the bye week will tell you a lot about the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, more so than this game will.
And opportunities there, and the idea of banking wins. We've been talking about that since the schedule came out, since this ridiculous Steelers schedule came out. We all said, well, what's the minimum that they need to be going into that bye? And I don't know one person who didn't say they've got to be 6-2 at least, right?
And how they arrived there is a little different than maybe what I thought. But, yes, 6-2 was something you wanted to get those wins in your pocket, move on to the very difficult part of their schedule. Although I wonder, you know, we thought the schedule was one way to begin with. Now I wonder what it looks like from now looking at it. Because even though I think Joe Burrow is still the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, their defense is awful. And I don't know that the Steelers are going to struggle with them as much as they might the Cleveland Browns, which is strange to say because their defense is much better.
Well, here, Bob, you're reading my mind this morning, which I commend
you
for.
Is that, wow. I mean, we have something going here.
Because that was my next issue here was, all right, what about the second half of the schedule? Because I keep hearing people say, oh, it's way easier than we thought. Is it? Because the first team they play is in first place in the NFC East. They're way better than anybody could have imagined. That's Washington. Then you got Baltimore. Cleveland is a couple of wins lower maybe than I thought they would be, but they're about what I thought they'd be. Plus, I agree with our friend Donnie Football, and we look back fondly on Donnie Football Friday, don't we, Limits?
Always. And how about the prediction from Nick Costos about the Ravens game, too, from Friday?
I'd forgotten about that. Yes.
He said the Browns would cover. I think he even said the Browns would win.
I think he did.
Andrew Filippone said the Browns would win. And that's big headlines.
Usually his predictions come out the exact
opposite.
Yeah,
but that was absolutely correct, yeah.
What a weekend for Pony, huh? Syracuse football and then getting the Browns right?
Yeah. He was at least 1-1, Bob. What was I saying? Washington is way, way better than anybody could have imagined. Baltimore, even though they struggled yesterday, is really good, just like we thought they'd be. And, oh, yeah, I agree with Donnie Football from last week that I think that the energy has completely shifted in Cleveland. And what I saw, I don't care what their record is, what I saw as two easy games with Deshaun Watson in there have suddenly changed. The whole energy around that franchise in that locker room, I'm imagining, on the field has shifted because that guy isn't there anymore. You could tell. You watched the game yesterday? Couldn't you tell that?
Oh, yeah. There's no question. It was almost like it was some sort of anchor that was holding them down and they couldn't get out from under it. And all of a sudden, that's gone. And even though Jameis Winston, I think, is just an average quarterback, quite frankly, he played well, and it was a breath of fresh air for that team. And you know, you got a healthy Nick Chubb now working with you. I thought Cedric Tillman was really good. I can't believe Baltimore let him go behind at the end of the game after Kyle Hamilton had the game won. An interception was right in his hands.
A nice soft throw right in his hands.
It was a terrible throw by Winston, but he got away with it. And the very next play, boom.
So, all right, let's just go through it. Washington, November 10th, way better than we thought. Baltimore's about what we thought, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, their offense is better than what I thought. I knew it would be good, but it's really good.
Defense might be worse. So, yes. One thing Baltimore doesn't have, Bob, is a closer pass rush. You know what I mean? A closing pass rush. They didn't have it yesterday. They needed to get pressure. They don't have that guy on right. that team. They just don't. They had to bring, like, seven people just to get near Winston on those final couple drives.
They're going to rely on what they've seen so far in their first seven games, eight games now, which is Lamar Jackson, the offense scores over 20 points in every single game. And that's how they're going to win games.
Yeah.
If you shut them down to some degree, you have a chance because I think their defense is going to give up over 20 a game.
Cleveland's about what I thought they would be. And you got them 2 out of 3 weeks. And then at Cincy, they're definitely worse than I thought, Bob. Their defense for sure, but somehow they still look very dangerous to me. They just do. They lost to the Chiefs by a point, Washington by 5, Baltimore in overtime. And then yesterday they got hammered by, I think, a good Philly team. And that brings us to Philly because they're on the schedule too. So to me, this schedule, and then you got Kansas City, who's unbeaten. The schedule still looks very daunting to me. Maybe it was a 10 out of 10 difficulty when we looked at it before the season. And now it's an 8.5 or a 9.
It's still difficult.
I'll grant you that, right. But it's very hard. Let's take a look, Bob, as you entertain the masses. I will look and see who has the hardest schedules the rest of the way.
Okay. I bet you the Steelers are up there in the top five. I'm not sure who else
I don't think they are because of the Browns and Bengals
records, but the Browns and
which
Bengals,
are deceiving.
They are, but they're divisional teams. And I still will look, regardless of what the numbers say, any of those division games can kill you. They can help you a lot if you go 5-1 like the Steelers did last year, or they can kill you because those teams you play in such a short period of time, these three teams over and over.
Right.
And
yeah, it's like college where these are rivalry games right. where they're often close because you know each other so well. The Steelers have the 12th hardest schedule. Would you like to know who has the hardest schedule?
Now, is that factoring from this point forward, or is that factoring the entire year now?
From this point forward, an unbelievable website.
Then I think it changed, because it was higher than, it was a harder schedule than that.
It was harder at one point, and then it became, for a little while, the easiest remaining schedule in the NFL. And now it's risen back to 12th. Tankathon.com, Bob. Tankathon.com.
That's one of your favorite sites.
You get updated draft order every day, updated draft order, or every week, plus you have remaining strength of schedule.
So who would have number one? Is it the Patriots?
Wrong.
No, the number one draft order.
Oh,
Patriots?
I don't know. I have to go back and look at the draft order. I was just pointing out the good points of
the
site. The
Browns were in there until they won yesterday, but go ahead.
All right, let's look at draft order.
It's got to be New England.
We'll satisfy Bob's request.
Or not Chicago, Cleveland.
Carolina won.
Okay, I forgot about Carolina.
The Fighting Mason Rudolphs, too.
Wow, they've jumped ahead of... Well, New England won yesterday. That took their shot away from that. Okay.
New England is tied with the New York Jets. I think of all the teams in the NFL or of any happening in the NFL right now, I'm taking the most pleasure out of the Jets turning into an absolute abomination. You?
Yeah, I think so. 0-3 since the coaching change. 0-2, Devontae Adams. Now probably they want to have a mulligan on both of those because they've been disasters since then. And Aaron Rodgers, who's he going to blame this week? He blames a lot of people, not himself. But who's he going to blame this week?
Well, you have Carolina 1. You have Tennessee 2. Then at 2-6, you have New England, Jets, Jacksonville, New Orleans, Vegas, and Cleveland. So here's the thing about poor, pitiful Cleveland. They can't win for losing, and they can't lose for winning. The best thing that could possibly happen to the Browns is to have the worst record in the NFL. It's the best thing that could possibly happen to them, and they would be tied with Carolina if they don't accidentally win that blanking game yesterday, Bob. Then Miami, the Giants, and Cincy at 11. The Steelers right now wouldn't draft until 25th. Wouldn't that be nice, Bob?
Yeah, that would be very interesting. It would be right where everyone seems to have them every year. It's in that 20 to 25 to 27 range, depending on how good or bad they are, but they never seem to crack anywhere near the top 10.
Well, here's the remaining strength of schedule that I wanted to get to. And yeah, the Steelers are 12th right now. I would argue that their schedule plays up a little bit. I would argue it's a top 10 strength of schedule. I mean, does anybody think the Bengals games are going to be easy with Burrow, Chase, and Higgins out there? No, of course not. The easiest schedule left is Chicago, Detroit, San Fran, and Cleveland. And Denver, by the way.
And Denver's 5-3.
I have to commend them. I thought they were not going to win maybe another game.
I told you, he was good yesterday. He had 3 touchdown passes, a 124 passer rating.
Baltimore is 8th easiest. And there's the Steelers. Or wait a second. Yeah, 8th easiest.
I thought you said they were 12th easiest.
Baltimore's 8th easiest.
Okay,
Steelers
Baltimore.
Are 12th easiest. The hardest. Oh, for God's sakes, Bob. Why am I confused here, Limits? I've lost my mind. If your strength of schedule the rest of the way is 632, that's the hardest, right?
Yes.
So Chicago has the hardest. Yeah, I'm back on track here. Steelers have the 12th hardest. Tampa Bay has the easiest. Houston has the 3rd easiest. Buffalo has one of the easiest. And by the way, in watching them, I was wrong about them. Their defense is actually much better than it was. They've added Amari Cooper. Cook is a star. They're in this mix.
Very much so. You can argue, I would say right now moving forward, they are a better team than Kansas City. Kansas City knows how to win. But if I'm looking at the talent spread over what I see, Kelsey's getting up there in age. Yeah, they target him a lot. They got nothing from Xavier Worthy. Rice is out. They brought in Hopkins. It remains to be seen what he's going to be to them.
I know, but if they played tomorrow in the AFC title game and
I would take Buffalo.
You would not.
Yes, I would take Buffalo.
If I said, Bob, you have to everything you own is at stake. You're taking Buffalo
well,
over
all,
Kansas City?
I don't make those kind of bets. I make a friendly bet with you.
I'm just saying, if I asked you, Buffalo
is a better team on paper
right now.
That's fine.
Baltimore might be too. San Francisco was. It doesn't matter. First of all, it's going through Arrowhead. They're 2 games ahead of everybody else. So you got to go into Kansas City and beat Mahomes.
And I think they have the people to do it. I think Josh Allen could, and he has before.
But you wouldn't bet on that. There's no way.
Well, I'm not going to bet everything, but I'm just telling you at this point, Kansas City, every time, and I watch them every week because we have all these screens down there,
yeah.
They somehow play down and they still win, like yesterday against Vegas. It was just an ugly game. And they make plays.
I know, they pace themselves. I'm convinced those guys and that team has an internal clock. They're going to get better. These games, they just trudge along until it matters. And then they go into Buffalo and into Baltimore and win in the playoffs like last year. Now, I will grant you this. Just the notion of three-peating. Nobody's ever done it. No,
just ask the Penguins what that year it was. It's tough. Everybody's shooting for you. And they will.
Which brings us back to the Steelers. What kind of shot do they have here? People called us delusional a few weeks back, and it looked like we were for a minute there. But I still think they're a legitimate contender in the AFC.
I do too, but I also think things can change, as we have seen. Two games into this, when they were 2-0, we were readjusting our predictions, and then we readjust them the other way once they lose a couple of games. I think it remains to be seen. What I do see is this. They have a very... to me, tremendous chance to get into the playoffs and for them, hopefully, get a home playoff game. There is enough separation here already. You can make the charge that you know the playoff teams in the AFC, barring some crazy turnaround by the Bengals, who win 8 in a row, by the Dolphins, who under Tua all of a sudden come back from the dead. The Chargers are still – but mostly, I can tell you, at least the top 5 teams in the AFC, I don't think that's going to change unless somebody collapses. So they're one of them. And now the question is, where do you seed? And seeding is a big deal because going into this past week, it would have been Steelers at Buffalo. Now it becomes Steelers at home hosting Denver. I'll be careful what you wish for on all these things. I'm just saying there's a long way to go. But I don't see them not making the playoffs as they sit here. And you expect to win tonight. If they get to 6-2, the percentage chance of them making the playoffs is like 86%.
They're making the playoffs. I feel very confident in that. But the question I'm going to pose to you and our friend Wonder Twin is simply a yes or no question, Bob. They're going to win the division.
Well, I said no at the beginning because I think the Ravens, I'm going to stick with the Ravens just because I picked them and I'm not going to go back and forth and flip-flop now. Because 2 weeks from now, if they lose to the Giants and Commanders, you'll be asking me the same question. You want to readjust your win total. I'm not readjusting. I think the Ravens still will win the division.
So the answer is no.
Right.
Wonder Twin?
I'm also saying no. I'm sticking with Baltimore, even though I predicted Cincinnati at the start of the year. I think it'll come down to the final week of the regular season. Baltimore will win it.
Let's try this again. It's a yes or no question. The Steelers will win the division. Bob?
We gave you the answer.
You didn't. Yes
or no? We
have
4 hours to fill. We need a
we
little.
We will fill.
We need a
and
little
that leads
PS.
Into the next topic.
You
this
heard
is like
our,
a political
you heard
debate
our answers.
Here.
Why
give an answer.
We did.
No. No.
We
thank
did.
You.
No.
They're
going to
win the division?
We gave you an answer.
No. The answer is no.
No.
I say no as well. If they win emphatically tonight, will you change your mind? Yes or no?
No.
No, because I expect them to.
Will you change your mind? Yes or no?
No.
No.
Yes.
You're going to put all of this on the Giants?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
You are.
Yeah, man. If they come out and smash the Giants
they
tonight.
They should. You know,
but you just said in the NFL, you
right,
looked at
that's
all these
why,
yeah,
that's why
really
I'm saying
good teams do that. I think with a one-game cushion, it's not like Baltimore plays nobody the rest of the year either. One win is a giant swing, Bob, from 5-3 and tied to 6-2 and up one.
Right.
Going into your bye week.
So if they lose, you're going to totally collapse. You're going to then say the Steelers may not make the playoffs.
No,
I know you'll
no,
switch.
No, I didn't say that.
You may.
I didn't say that.
If they lose tonight 27-10, you'll come in here tomorrow and you'll say, well, my goodness.
I'll tell you what, things will look a lot different,
right?
Won't they?
They
but
do
I,
week
I
to
won't
week.
Switch to not making the playoffs because of the state of the AFC.
No, neither would I, but I'm just saying that's how crazy. This is a week-to-week league. And if you win two in a row, suddenly things change. If you lose two in a row, if they
look at Baltimore right now. They got Denver next. That's not easy,
that's
Bob,
not easy.
Is it?
No.
Then they got the Bengals. Okay, in a prime game, and the Bengals are going to. The Bengals now have to win every week.
They have to win, what, 8 games here?
And the last I checked.
7 out of 9 is what they have to win.
The last I checked, which was yesterday, the Ravens' pass defense is extremely vulnerable.
It's terrible, I think.
Then the Ravens come here. Do they have an easy game yet? No, they don't. Then they go to the Chargers for a night game. Then they play the Eagles. So the idea that Baltimore is going to coast, Baltimore has screwed up here.
I never said they were going to coast. I do think their offense is good enough to win games despite their defensive showing so far.
And they still have to play the Steelers another time. And lest I remind you, if lest is the right word there, Bob, and I'm not sure that it is, the Steelers own the Ravens pretty much lately. Then in their second last game on Christmas Day, the Ravens have to go into Houston.
Right. That's a big game, no doubt.
So to me, tonight, you go into your bye with a one-game lead in the division compared to tied is gigantic. There's only 17 of these things. People always, you know, are up in arms over changing opinions. I don't apologize for that. It's what happens on the field that changes my opinion. I thought the Commanders stunk before the season. They're 6-2. Now I think they're good. Sorry, I changed my opinion based on what I watched, for God's sakes. Bob?
Well, mostly Jaden Daniels has carried them. I don't think there's any question. His performance, more than anything, if you break down their roster, take away Terry McLaurin, you're going to end up with Jaden Daniels is the man who's making it all possible.
Imagine how big a home game would be. Just imagine what that is with all its advantages
it's
for
huge.
Your pass rushers, for everybody
right.
and
despite
everything
what
else.
They've done in the past, it's still huge. And anytime you get a chance to do that here, it makes a big difference. Regardless who they play.
And you know their games against the Ravens are going to be close. We may think the Ravens have a better roster. I do. And have a better quarterback. I do. But they're sitting here at 5-3. 5-3 with a pretty difficult schedule ahead that I just read to
people. That loss, it may be the one they look back on. It cost them a home field, some sort of seating issue. And they had it locked up if Kyle Hamilton makes the play. And they win the game. We're not talking about how badly they play defensively. We're talking about them. They're winning and getting to 6-2.
What about Rashad Bateman having the ball go right off his
right
face
off
mask
his face
in the
mask
sun?
Too.
And what about the injuries? Right now they're missing their two starting corners who are both really, really good. And they've lost to the Raiders and Cleveland. So while I think Baltimore's wildly talented and their offense is something to behold, their overall team, they're 5-3 and they've lost to Vegas and Cleveland. So again, what happens on the field makes a difference.
Well, if the Steelers should lose tonight, you'll say, well, they lost to the Giants, the Colts, and a bad Cowboys team.
Thank you, Bob, for ending my argument. I have no further questions.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. No,
it changes.
That's right.
It.
What happened? Unbelievably, what happens on the field actually changes our opinions about teams' limits, right?
Wow. Who would have thought?
Isn't that a revelation? No, you got to stick to your opinion.
No.
Washington still stinks.
This is why
no, they don't.
I get agitated
good sometimes,
and I apologize for this. With preseason stuff, we talk about debate. Give me your Super Bowl pick. How's Pitt going to do after 3-9?
Yeah.
Nobody knows. We waste our time doing it, but
we
have radio to fill.
It's fun, I get it. And everybody's doing the same thing.
If you think that we know what's going on, nobody knows. You look at a roster, you know what Kansas City's going to be. I get that. You know what certain teams are. But you also know, and you know that things can change radically based on what happens.
Here's where you and I consistently disagree. The NFL is wildly unpredictable week to week. It ain't that unpredictable overall. You or I could have said the Bills. Well, if the Steelers win the division, that'll be different. Bills, Ravens, Texans, Chiefs were going to win their division, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody would have said Washington. They're the surprise team. And then the Niners are struggling.
Well, I think Denver is going to prove some people wrong.
Denver will be a surprise if they get that far. Let's see if they do.
Yeah.
We'll see.
There's still a lot of football left. And injuries play a significant role in this stuff. And hopefully the Steelers won't find any more key people going down to injury.
I don't want the Steelers to be last year's Steelers, where a crap team comes in here for a night game and embarrasses them. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're better than last year. I think they've upgraded radically at the quarterback position. I know Mason Rudolph had a couple magical games. You saw him yesterday. We know what Mason Rudolph is in the end, right? He's a backup quarterback. A couple really good games against the broken Bengals and against a terrible Seattle defense. And I commend him for that. He sparked the season. They've radically upgraded at quarterback. They've radically upgraded at offensive coordinator. And those are two pretty big areas for any football team. In fact, if I was ranking areas for a football team, I would put quarterback first above all, head coach second, and offensive coordinator third. How about you?
Well, I have
or defensive coordinator.
I mean, yeah. I think those guys are just as important. But yeah, when you say radically, I'm going to reserve that word yet for radically. I want to see more of Russell Wilson. I want to see more of radical.
Even if it's Justin Fields, he's way better than Pickett or Rudolph, in my opinion.
I don't know about radically, but he's better, certainly. We'll see. And it's just, I want to see a whole bunch more of this and see how it plays out.
You don't think he's either guy is radically better than Kenny Pickett?
Radically is a word that that's a big word. I think they're better. And again, we have more games to play. Like you say, change the week. Let's say it's a bad performance tonight. Are you going to change and say they're radically better if you throw three interceptions? I don't know.
Well, no. Again, a game could shape my opinion. But we now have seven of them in the books, and I'm really confident saying that both guys are way better than Kenny Pickett.
I would say they may never start another game. Yeah, I agree. But I'm just the radical part of that. We'll see. I want to see if Russell Wilson can do what he did a few years ago. Yes, that's a radical improvement.
How about last year?
That's not radical, but that's a big improvement.
26 touchdowns and 8 picks. He threw more touchdowns last year than everybody combined has thrown since Ben left at
one
point.
Which is why we had a debate the other night about whether or not Justin Fields should come in if he's on as a backup. He's injured right now. I don't know what the extent of that is. Should he be in the red zone as the quarterback? And I say no to that. Russell Wilson is at his best in those situations. If I have him in the game, it would be some sort of trick play that I'm not sure how I would utilize him.
I agree. That's a moot point for this week because Fields is injured. Wonder Twin, I have no reads here. I feel absolutely naked. Did you hand me them?
I thought I did. I'll have to check.
Could be my fault. I'm very forgetful, as you know. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Let's have a conversation. You out there with Bob Pompeiani.
And Joe Starkey. On the Joe Show.
Where do you place them in the AFC hierarchy? And that's a nice word, Bob.
Yes, it is.
And how significant is tonight's game in terms of shaping your opinion on these Steelers? To me, given what has happened in the recent past, notably last year, it's extremely significant because I'm starting to think that the Steelers could be a really good team. When you're plus 60, when you're beating teams decisively, you start to fit the definition of a good team. It continues tonight. It reinforces that idea or augments it, Bob. You have a crappy game and barely get by, or God forbid you lose. I start to change my opinion a little bit going the other way. That's what the season is. It's arrow up, arrow down. How significant is this game tonight? Ravens have lost to the Browns and the Raiders. Steelers have a chance to move into first place all by themselves and to underscore the notion, maybe the growing notion, that they're not just good, but really good. And the way you do that is by hammering teams. Our friend Wonder Twin has a number, Bob, but I'm going to match him with one that's going to be better, and I don't even know what his is. Twin Cities?
Then I'll match you and Austin both.
Ooh, I like that.
Ooh, here we go. Daniel Jones, guys, is 1-14 all-time in his career in prime time, and he's 0-7 in his career on Monday Night Football. The Steelers have won 21 straight Monday Night Football games at home and are 20-3 all-time under Mike Tomlin on Monday night.
The bigger question is there, why are the Giants on prime time that much?
Because they're New York,
okay,
I would say.
Okay, but they're not worthy of that slot.
I agree. I agree with you. I've got one that's better, as impressive as that is. And that almost makes me worry, Bob, because every streak is meant to end. But wouldn't you have said that when the Steelers were 19-3? You know what I mean? Or 17-3? Maybe. I don't think it will tonight. Here's one. This is unbelievable. The Deshaun Watson disaster in Cleveland. This was a guy writing in The Athletic today, and I can't see his name. I forget his name here. He wrote a really good column. I'll get it in a second. Throw out the game at Cincinnati in the final week last year when the Browns rested their starters, and this team has now thrown for 300 yards in the last five games Watson didn't start. That's unbelievable to me. Yes. That's Joe Flacco.
And Watson.
It's Jacoby Brissett.
And Winston.
It's Winston, and it might even be another guy thrown in
Dorian
there.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
I don't know.
I don't know who it is. But it ain't Deshaun Watson.
No, the point of this column was, as much as the Browns lied to their fan base, oh, this is our guy every week, he gives us the best chance to win, he doesn't. And it's been comically proven that when anybody else goes in there, they have big games where Watson didn't. Think about that. The last five games he didn't play, they've thrown for 300 yards.
So yes or no, Deshaun Watson never plays for the Browns again.
Man, I'm leaning 52% yes. And if they're smart, it should be 100%. This has given them a reason, an excuse to say, you know what, we moved on. If they wind up with three or four wins, they may draft a guy. They may just go with Winston. You're probably looking at a year for Deshaun Watson anyway. It would be the middle of next season. I'm leaning toward no, Bob. And if they know what's best for their franchise, it should definitely be no.
I'm also leaning no, Bob. I mean, like Joe said, that's a significant injury where, I mean, players are coming back from it quicker, but still, significant timeline for it. You think of like a Tommy John surgery in baseball. It's a similar equivalent, not as long. But, I mean, just the level of production, they'll just eat the money like Russell Wilson, probably in Denver.
Yeah, and that's a slap on Jimmy Haslam's face, but he has to wear that no matter what. So I think it's 100%. He'll never play there again. They have to do the money, move on. They can't afford to go back, given what he's done. That's just been one of the worst things ever in the history of the game. Here's my stat for you.
Yes.
And this is Russell Wilson. Again, now we're going back, and you know, last year, very good. He's known as one of those guys who can go down the field. So Russell Wilson on deep passes, okay?
Yeah.
That deep passes means 20 or more yards in the air since 2016. All right? He's number one in the NFL. With 229 such passes complete, with almost 9,000 yards, 77 touchdowns. That's first among all quarterbacks in going down the field 20 yards in the air or more.
Yeah.
That's pretty much Russell Wilson right there.
Did either one of you happen to see the Belichick-Brady show, or Belichick-Peyton Manning show, NFL breakdown?
I've watched it, but I don't know about this week.
It was all about Monday night's matchup. It was fascinating to hear Manning and Belichick raving about Russell Wilson. Belichick was like, in the last three or four years, he killed us over the top. And then they broke down plays. Remember the play last week? Russell rolls to his left. There's a defender in his face. He takes a little inside kind of jab step and throws three-quarter or sidearm to Freiermuth and hits him in stride.
A la Patrick Mahomes, right.
So Belichick looks at that. He's breaking it down on film and says verbatim, "Oh, my God. There's not a lot of guys in the NFL who can do that." That's what he said about Russell Wilson.
That also makes me wonder why there wasn't much more interest in him.
Maybe the drama? I don't know. Or perceived drama? There was drama there.
But the fact that Denver made it known, they're paying all of this other than $1 million or so.
What was the stat I gave last week about how isn't he like the fourth highest rated passer since the beginning of last season?
Yes.
I mean, Bob, the stats sort of, to me, spoke for themselves last year. 26 touchdowns, 8 picks, 20-1 in the red zone, a really high passer rating, beat 5 straight playoff teams in the middle of the season.
Including a trip to Buffalo.
I mean, Sean Payton just
scored Buffalo.
Right?
That was a great game.
They also beat, I forget who now, Green Bay, Kansas City, Cleveland in a row. All playoff teams. So part of it could have been the drama. Part of it was Sean Payton just not wanting him. And you know what? Sean Payton got a guy that he wants. He clearly wanted to get younger, different personality maybe in there. And I give Sean Payton credit because all of a sudden they're good. But I'm with you on Russell Wilson. What were people looking at?
I don't know. We'll see more. And I want to see more of that too. But they also still need receiver help, I think. And I don't know where this leads to next Tuesday when this trade deadline happens, because most of the guys you would want are gone. They're going to probably end up with somebody.
And now Christian Kirk out for the year.
Out for the year. So now you're talking about a veteran, some guy who's going to get like a seventh round pick who may be an upgrade and may he has some gas in the tank.
Is Adam Thielen playing again yet? Anybody know?
I don't know.
He'd be number one on my list right now.
Yeah. He's another one like Mike Williams. He'll be an upgrade. But I don't know how much of an upgrade.
He's still out for Carolina. He did not play against Denver.
Okay. But, Bob, didn't he have – what did he have last year? He had 103 catches last year for 1,000 yards. To me, that's a little more than like a minor upgrade. I know he's hurt with a hamstring. But once he's healthy, I'd be very enticed.
Oh, so would
him.
I. I'm not saying I wouldn't. What I'm saying is I don't know to what degree it would help. It would help, but how much?
If he's healthy, a ton. But that, I realize that's a big question right now at the hamstring. We'll deal with the receiver situation coming up. First, let's get to your calls. The Steelers standing in the AFC, and what will tonight's game potentially tell us? How significant of a game is this? Let's go to the lines, Twin Cities.
Let's start with Vincent in Columbus.
Hello, Vincent.
Hey, guys. I still think – I actually moved them up. I do think they're fourth, especially when you compare it to the rest of the AFC North. Like, the Bengals remind me a lot of the 2013 team that we had. So they're kind of out of it, trying to play catch-up. And then I don't like the defense either. I think Steelers have a much better defense there. But I do think tonight's game, if they win, it's a big leg up in the division race. And that leaves the Ravens game to be a huge one coming up.
Man, those Ravens games are going to be fun. Thank you for the call. Next.
Let's go now to Gary in Mars.
Hey, guys. You know, thank God Pomp is there to temper things because, as usual, Starkey, you overreact to everything. First of all, if you can't beat a bad New York Giant team at home in front of a national audience, then you don't even belong in the conversation.
Oh, secondly, so who's overreacting now? You're saying it's a pretty big game there, Bucko, aren't you? If you don't beat the Giants, you don't belong in the conversation. That's a big statement. I think you just overreacted, but go ahead.
Well, first of all, we knew the first half of their schedule was going to be relatively easy. So the fact that they're up where they are is not a surprise, and you shouldn't be printing Super Bowl tickets.
Nobody's printing Super Bowl tickets. Buffalo, nobody's mentioned the Steelers. Nobody has mentioned the Steelers and Super Bowl in the same thing. So again, you're overreacting and overdoing it. But go ahead. Keep making your point. Keep making your point. Keep making your point.
I am making my point. Until this team beats a Buffalo, a Kansas City, or the Ravens, you know, we shouldn't even be talking playoffs.
We shouldn't be talking playoffs for a team that's going to be maybe or likely be 6-2 by the end of the
year. No, I think playoffs.
We shouldn't even be talking playoffs.
A team that has been embarrassed for the last 10 years as far as playoff performance goes, yeah, we shouldn't be talking playoffs yet.
Okay, let's not talk playoffs, even though, what are they now, the 3 or 4 seed in the AFC? Bob, yeah, who is overreacting or underreacting now? Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, I thought he was still on the line. No, it's fair to talk about playoffs. They should be in the playoffs based on this start, so I think that's absolutely on the table. I'm just saying I want to see more, that's all. I have to see before I...
Well, who isn't saying that, honestly?
I'm just...
Is there one person out there who's not saying they want to see more? Certainly not me. I just said...
No, I know.
I know I'm not talking to you here. I'm talking to this caller. At the beginning of the show, the entire theme of the show is that the arrow is going to be moving up or down, maybe a lot, maybe slightly, based on the result of tonight's game.
Right, and that's that's true. And if it's a bad night of the office, then things will change radically like they often do week to week. So I think they have a team that is very capable of getting into a playoff situation and hosting a playoff game at Acrisure Stadium. That would be the most realistic, optimistic view of this team. Beyond that, I don't know. But I think if they get to that point, then all things are possible because you have to get to that point first. Not a road game at Buffalo, not a road game at Kansas City in the first wild card, none of that. You have to get a home playoff game and turn the tables on what's happened in the past in home playoff games.
I'm always amazed at what people hear, Bob. I compare it to that game Telephone, where you line up a bunch of people and you say something.
By the end of the line, it changes, yes?
Did somebody hear me say that the Steelers should be printing Super Bowl tickets? I don't even know how good they are. That's why I'm curious about tonight's game. It'll be another huge clue. You know why? It's another 1/117th of the season, which is pretty significant. We got another clue on the Ravens yesterday. Suddenly, the arrow goes a little bit down. A little bit down. Because now they've lost to the Raiders and the Browns, and their pass defense looks awful. Looks to me like they don't have a pass rush when they need it. They may rectify that in 3 weeks. They may. And guess what? Then I'll change my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's week to week.
Every game is a giant piece of evidence about what a team is like.
And it's funny to look at some of these teams. Like you look at the Giants, like the Bengals. They haven't done anything at home. In fact, I don't think that Daniel Jones has thrown a touchdown pass at home this year. Yet on the road, He hasn't thrown an interception that I'm aware of. I tried to figure these out on the stats. They've won two of their games on the road. He's been much more effective on the road than he has at home. And I think he's capable. I've seen games where I sometimes think, okay, this is why they gave him the money, even though I think they were pretty much forced to. But still, he can do it if things don't work out the way they're supposed to work out. And who knows, one bounce, one deflected pass in the hands of somebody and turns out to be a pick six. We've seen these kind of plays all over the place. So
yeah, for sure.